University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. Hello and welcome. My name is David Stouffer, and I get to be the recruitment coordinator for the UMSL College of Education. Each week on this podcast, we will meet an innovator in the field of education. We will spend some time getting to know them and learning about their work and how it can help you and yours. It is my sincere hope that this podcast will be a source of encouragement and support as you work to continue impacting lives as an educator. Today, my very first guest on Triton Talk is Dr. Nasser Arshadi. Dr. Arshadi is professor and chair of the Department of Finance and Legal Studies at UMSL. He previously served as the vice chancellor and vice provost for research at UMSL. He earned his PhD in financial economics from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. His research primarily focuses on capital markets, microeconomics of corporations, and the assessment of management and risk. Currently, his research and teaching also encompasses the blockchain technology. He's authored two books on financial intermediation and insider trading. Welcome, Dr. Arshadi.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Dr. Arshadi, in addition to your work at UMSL, you have a very extensive background working for in the service in the financial industry, such as the Federal Reserve Bank and other institutions. Share briefly about your journey and how you wound up here at UMSL. It's always fascinating for me to learn more about our faculty, where they came from, and how they wound up at the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Right. I have been an academic since I graduated, I have served also as an economist at Federal Reserve Board in Washington, D.C., as an economist and policy analyst. And as you mentioned, I also have been an administrator on campus, but primarily I am an academic. That's what I do. I have done consulting work for various companies over the years and in areas that my research related to.
What brought you to make the change from the, non-education field in the finance industry with all the work you had done, and what drove you to want to come to UMSL and be a professor and faculty and leader here at UMSL?
I actually joined UMSL right after graduation, so I haven't always been an academic. I have done other things in conjunction with my research and teaching, but primarily that's what I really have done. As I said, I was at the Federal Reserve Board for a year as an economist and policy analyst, and my consulting work primarily related to areas of research, like in area like risk management and assessment.
You also mentioned in the introduction that your area of research was on capital markets and microeconomics of corporations. Explain a little bit about that to the layman like me. What all that means? What is the science of microeconomics in corporations and management of risk, things like that?
Right. So my previous research focused on areas like banking. What makes a bank successful, or what causes a bank to fail? And then I was involved in areas such as deposit insurance and like FDIC-related topics. Later, I got involved in corporate takeovers and insider trading type topics. And but recently, in the last 5 years or so, I have been engaged in research and teaching blockchain technology. That's a fascinating new area, which is part of fintech that we're going to discuss in more detail. But blockchain is my current primary area of research.
Awesome.
And
well,
teaching.
Well, let's dive in. So your current role at UMSL focuses on the development of degree and certification programs in financial technology, or fintech.
Right.
You mentioned blockchain technology. Share a little bit about your work and how what you do at UMSL specifically in regards to that, and how students could get involved in the innovative programs that you focus on.
Right. In my department, my colleagues and I spent about 4 years developing a new program in financial technology called FinTech. Finance as a discipline had not changed much for several decades in terms of the focus. Until late 2000s, in 2008, a new technology came about. It was called blockchain, as the infrastructure behind a cryptocurrency called Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And but later, its primary use became finance-related. So, for example, you can use blockchain in payment system. You can use blockchain in real estate transactions, in wealth management, among other areas. Blockchain basically a technology that makes transactions faster, cheaper, and more secure. Mm-hmm. That's really what the technology is all about. And it's really foundation of a lot of things we do in financial technology or fintech. So offering a fintech program is basically rearranging what finance as a discipline is all about. For example, this program, we talk about artificial intelligence, we talk about financial data analytics, we talk about a lot of quantitative areas of finance. And it's a shift, and blockchain is one of those areas that really fundamentally shifts the way we look at finance as a discipline, finance in a real-world situation. In terms of our degree programs, again, it took us about 3 years or so to develop the program. And we have certificate programs, and we have a master's degree in fintech. We actually started offering these programs a year ago, so it's pretty new for us. Mm-hmm. But this is really an exciting area for the corporate sector, for financial services sector, and it's a new way of looking at finance as a discipline. Right. Initially, blockchain was developed as the infrastructure for the first cryptocurrency called Bitcoin. So it basically enables creation of a cryptocurrency. At the time, it was Bitcoin. It's an open source software, basically. And later on, and other iterations of blockchain were used to develop other cryptocurrencies. For example, Ether is another cryptocurrency that was developed in 2014 for the purpose of other applications. As an example of how blockchain, besides cryptocurrencies, can be used in other enterprises, let's look at real estate. Mm-hmm. Currently, if you want to buy a house, it usually takes anywhere between 1 to 2 months to close on a loan or close on purchase of a house. You're at least dealing with half a dozen or so entities. Mm-hmm. These are financial institutions. Myself, yes. You have title insurance agents. Mm-hmm. You have brokers and dealers on both sides of transactions. It's very time consuming. It takes a lot of time, but also it's very costly. And research has shown that somewhere around 9 to 10% of the purchase price of a house is spent on transaction costs at different stages.
Sure.
And that's significant. And it takes a long time. And still always secure. So there are all kinds of errors in title insurance, for example. Mm-hmm. Employing blockchain makes it much faster, a lot cheaper, and it doesn't have to take that long, actually. That's the whole idea of using...
it cuts out all these people that have their hands in the transactions that are getting money from the buyer and the seller.
That's
in the
correct.
Real estate. How is it more secure? Because that's the thing someone like me would be the most concerned about. You pull out the people and you involve the technology, and yet it's somehow more secure. Explain, how does that work?
Because all transactions that we are talking about are basically posted on blockchain. These transactions can never be altered. Everyone can go and see them. Whereas transactions in alternative way of doing business go through all these systems, there's paperwork involved, and at each step, and they take a long time, at each step you may encounter errors, for example. I have seen and read about huge number of errors, for example, title insurance. Blockchain enables having property titles posted on blockchain that everyone can go and see, and they will see who it belongs to. If it is transferred to someone else, again, there's another posting on blockchain that shows who currently owns that property. So you don't have to go through all these steps to validate who actually owns the property, and there will be no error, basically. That's just an example. Our Masters in FinTech program is a 30-credit-hour program, and they are basically 10 courses we offer. So, for example, artificial intelligence course that I mentioned, that's a fascinating new area, as you mentioned. In a whole host of other areas, they can use AI to, again, speed up transactions and make it more potent, like in areas such as portfolio management or wealth management or a whole host of other areas that they can be very, it can be very helpful. You know, the traditional way of doing business will not survive in the next 5-10 years. For example, the wealth management area, the traditional way is that you have a financial advisor meets with a client, let's say once every month or once every 3 months, goes over, you know, the interest of the client and their risk tolerance, etc., and comes up with scenario that fits them, goes back to the office and their portfolio managers and others, look at basically some scenarios that work. But what AI can do to be helpful, that you give information about one's risk tolerance, it can basically survey and find whole host of other investment opportunities that without AI, it just simply wasn't possible. So AI makes all these sorts of research smarter and faster. Still, you need human beings to look over to be sure you're dealing with, you know, correct answers. But it sort of facilitates, speeds up, and produces better outcome at the end.
We were talking about the Master of Science in Financial Technology, FinTech. I'm interested to learn more about what specific student, what type of student or what career pathway a student would be looking at who would want to be a good candidate for that program. And then after they complete the program, what would they be looking at as far as a career opportunities down the road?
That's a very good question, David. We have several category of people that we can actually, we are marketing this program for. For example, the current employees of financial institutions that I've been out of school for some time, and now we have a new technology for them. They can come back and get a master's degree. And just as an example, previously in quant area, they were taught Excel, computational finance, and that's wonderful. But in this program now, we teach them a lot more advanced topics. For example, in our financial data analytics class, we teach them Python and R and other statistical methods to help them to be more potent in their analysis. We teach them artificial intelligence. We teach them, you know, as I mentioned, blockchain, among other subjects. So this basically, while they are still working, our program is, by the way, 100% online program. And so they can carry on with their employment, but take this program. It will make them a lot more productive. And so that's one group. The other group is obviously employees of corporations. It doesn't have to be financial corporations. They are some large corporations that have big finance departments. It can be applied to them. Finally, it probably, interestingly, there's a lot of demand here, is that we have created what's called an accelerated program. The current students in our undergraduate program can apply after they have taken 60 credit hours. They can apply for MS in FinTech program. If they are admitted, there are some rules about it, then they can actually concurrently take up to 12 credit hours in this program. It will cut down the total credit hours by 1 year at least. Mm-hmm. Because they can take some of these courses while they are completing their BSBA, Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, and once they finish that, they will take rest of the courses as graduate students. So that's another group of students that we are working with.
Okay. So in terms of undergraduate background, is there a specific undergraduate program that would be best suited for the FinTech, or could someone who, say, went through the College of Education and got the teaching degree in social studies and they're teaching economics want to make a career change and then move into FinTech? Is that even a possibility?
Right. It's actually possible. Our MS in FinTech program is open to everyone with any background. Mm-hmm. The first course that a student coming in that they have to take has some prerequisites. If they have no background in business, for example, someone from College of Education, a good example, they have to take a couple of prerequisites before they get into program. Mm-hmm. And we teach them everything they need to know. So that's not an issue. So the program is designed not only for people with undergraduate degrees in business administration, but if someone is coming from engineering background, that's fantastic program for them because the program is very quantitative in some ways. So engineers are good in quant, so they already have strong background in statistics, for example. Mm-hmm. They will do fine. Mm-hmm. People coming from economics background, again, they have already several courses close enough that they will do really well. So it's not just designed for
sure.
People. But if someone is already in a BSBA program, especially those who are in Bachelor of Science in Business Administration with emphasis in finance, they can really finish these two programs combined, some totaling 5 years as opposed to 6 years.
Oh, fantastic.
Getting their undergraduate and master's degree at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of our universities doing that same model, bachelor's and master's in 5 years. That's fantastic. What could they be looking at after they finish the program and get into the business world in terms of jobs and career opportunities? What would they specifically be geared towards?
Right. So the job opportunities are really extensive, not only in the traditional areas, let's say in wealth management, in real estate and others, that in payment system. We have all these innovations in payment system. You see that yourself anywhere from, like Venmo or Block and other areas. Mm-hmm. All of them actually are looking for people with quant background. That's what we teach people. So that's one area. Second is the current institutions, as I said, like in wealth management area, they are going to try to basically update their technical capacities, and that's what we produce. Mm-hmm. And so people can become, actuaries, mm-hmm. or they can be financial analysts, or they can become portfolio managers, and they can work in corporate sector. Mm-hmm. So, and again, environment is changing very rapidly. This is a fairly new field. So in 5-10 years, you're going to have huge demand for this field.
Oh, good. That was my next question, was how is the outlook for opportunities, employment, and whatnot? And so it's obviously growing and going to continue to grow.
Right.
Excellent.
Yes.
Now, as the chair of the department, are there other degree programs besides the MS in financial technology that you are associated with in terms of what students could get involved in?
Right. In undergraduate program, we have a a track certificate in fintech, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a whole host of other track certificates, but since we are talking about fintech, we have that program. It only requires, 15 credit hours. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Again, as a student in BSBA program, you can have emphasis in mm-hmm. finance, and then in that program, you can have a track certificate.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, we have a whole host of other certificate programs.
Sure.
We also have a graduate certificate program in fintech as well. Again, it requires only 15 credit hours. But master's mm-hmm. degrees, our primary focus is a 30 credit hour program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We also have a MBA program with emphasis in finance. Again, it requires mm-hmm. 18 credit hours. So mm-hmm. we have a combination of programs that we offer through finance department.
So a lot of wonderful opportunities. College of Business Administration is just phenomenal. I get a chance to work with the recruiters from the College of Business Administration and just learn from them about what amazing things are happening. So it's just wonderful. Before we wrap up our time, I want to give the microphone to you just to talk about anything else you'd like to talk about or promote with your work and the College of Business Administration. So the mic is yours for anything else you'd like to share.
Well, if anyone is interested for more information about our various degree programs, please feel free to send me an email. It's Arshadi, my last name, Arshadi, at omsl.edu.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Arshadi, thank you so much for being my very first guest on Triton Talk. It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate you and the great work you do and the impact that you have had and continue to have here at UMSL. So thank you.
Thank you, David, for the opportunity.
You're welcome. I am honored that you chose to join me today for the University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. I hope you'll join me next time. Till then, I'm David Stouffer. Thank you for the work you do. Never forget, you are making a difference every day.